You're listening to Trinity Fremont's Sermon Podcast, where you can hear God's Word preached each and every week. Our purpose at Trinity is to learn, love, lead, to reflect the light of Jesus. We pray that as you listen to this week's sermon, you'll be encouraged and equipped to live your life in such a way that others would see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
As we're continuing, right, through this series, the Summer on the Mount, as we're going through this sermon that Jesus preaches to us, to the disciples, to those around him, the crowds, and recorded for us in Matthew 5 through 7. And today we finish our time in the Beatitudes, these blessed are statements from Jesus, but it's not like that the Beatitudes are one little sermon, and then the next section is another sermon, and then another sermon that don't all fit together, right? But really the Beatitudes and the way that we understand the Beatitudes lead us into the rest of this sermon. And so Jesus begins this sermon with blessing. Not a ladder that gets us closer to God, not with a checklist of all the things that we need to do to be saved, and not with a do these things, and then maybe God will give you something. But instead he starts with empty hands. Right? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," right? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are unable to do anything on their own to earn the kingdom from God, but are like beggars with empty hands. And those beggars are given the kingdom of heaven. And this first blessing, it shapes how we hear everything else. Because if we miss this first blessing, then the rest of the sermon becomes a set of things that we need to do to get something from God. Right? It becomes something like, well, if I pray the right way, then I'll get my reward. If I fast the right way, then I'll get my reward. If I give the right way, then I'll get my reward. If I show enough mercy, if I have a pure enough heart, if I show enough peace, then maybe God will finally bless me. But Jesus doesn't start with what we bring. Right? Jesus starts with what he gives. And to the poor in spirit, he says, "The kingdom is yours." And Paul gives us another picture of that, where he says that we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. What a strange place to put a treasure. Right? If you had a treasure, if I had a treasure, I don't think I'd put it in something that's ordinary or something that's fragile, breakable. If we had a treasure, we'd put it in someplace safe. We'd put it in someplace strong where we could hold on to that treasure forever. But God gives his treasure away, and he puts it in these jars made out of clay. Ordinary jars. Weak jars. Fragile jars. Jars that are not perfect yet. And into those jars, into us, God places his treasure. But as people, we like to look at the jar, right? We like to inspect the jar. We look at the outside and we say, well, how strong is that jar? Or how impressive is that jar? Or how useful could that jar be? How does this jar compare to those jars around it? But Paul's telling us it's not about the jar, but it's about what the jar is filled with. The good news is that Jesus fills jars. Jesus gives his kingdom to empty-handed people. And he sends his spirit into these empty jars. And that's what Jesus is talking about in the Beatitudes. That's what he's talking about through the rest of these Beatitudes, as well as into the rest of his Sermon on the Mount. Jesus fills what is empty. Right? Those who mourn are filled with comfort. Those who are meek inherit the earth. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, they're satisfied. They're filled with satisfaction. Now, the fullness, Jesus promises, is still coming, right? The full comfort is still coming. The full inheritance is still coming. The full righteousness is still coming. But the blessing is already right now, because Jesus has already spoken the promise. He's already given his kingdom. He's already sent his Spirit. The treasure is already yours. But that's not where he ends the sermon, with the treasure just being mine. The Beatitudes then start to turn outward, where Jesus says, blessed are the merciful, those who are merciful to others. Now notice, mercy does not come out of me because I've somehow mastered mercy, but mercy comes out because Jesus has shown mercy to us. And blessed are the pure in heart. Again, purity doesn't come out because we've somehow cleaned ourselves up enough to be pure for God, but God creates in us a clean heart, a clean spirit, and then purity comes out. Blessed are the peacemakers. Again, peace doesn't come because we've finally fixed the world. Peace doesn't come because finally all of the Miss Americas and the Miss Worlds have gotten what they've asked for every year, right? World peace. Peace comes because God has made peace between us and him. And so these Beatitudes, if they're read separately, they could sound like these transactional payments, where if I do enough, then God will give to me. But we're not merciful in hopes that God might finally be merciful to us. We're not pure in heart in hopes that we might finally see God, that he might finally let us see him. And we're not peacemakers so that God might finally call us his children. But Jesus gives first. Jesus gives mercy. Jesus creates clean hearts. Jesus gives peace. Jesus sends his Spirit. And what fills the jars then begins to overflow. Right? It oozes out of us into the world. And so when we're filled with mercy, mercy oozes out. When we're filled with purity, purity oozes out. When we're filled with peace, then peace oozes out. It overflows to those around us. Now, it's not perfect, right? Because we're still sinful. We still live in a broken, sinful world. We're ordinary clay pots. But what we're filled with overflows because we're filled with the Spirit. But again, this is where we might be able to hear the words of Jesus, but sometimes get them twisted. Because again, we tend to make the gifts that God give about us. The greatest sin is our selfishness. So we tend to make these gifts that God gives about us. And so sometimes we turn the gifts into a proof that we have the gift, right? Am I merciful enough to show that I have the gift? Am I pure enough? Am I peaceful enough? Am I persecuted enough? Is enough coming out of me for God to actually love me? And so then the gift becomes this measurement of the clay pot, rather than looking at what's inside of it. And suddenly I'm staring at myself again. So sometimes we can turn this gift into a measuring line that becomes about me. But other times we can turn this gift into a possession where we can say, well, I already have the kingdom. I already have Jesus. I already have peace with God. So I might as well just hold on to it for myself. I can enjoy it by myself, right? I'll let somebody else be merciful. I'll let someone else make peace. But Jesus doesn't give his kingdom as a paycheck to be earned or as a possession to hold on to for ourselves. I mean, you don't have to prove that you have Jesus, and you don't get to hide that you have Jesus. But the kingdom is a gift. The kingdom is a gift for me. It's a gift for you, and it's a gift to those around you. Mercy is for you, but it's also for your neighbor who needs mercy, right? Peace is for you, but it's also for your neighbor who is not yet at peace with God. The good news is for you, and it's for the neighbor who still needs to know what Jesus has done for them. Now again, I want to make sure we're clear on this. It's not me who brings peace between someone else and God. It's Jesus who does that work. It's Jesus who makes peace. It's Jesus who sends his kingdom. But Jesus works through you. He works through me. He works through his people. He speaks through weak jars. He shows mercy through weak jars. He carries peace to others through weak jars. And as he does that, sometimes those around us receive that gift that Jesus gives with great joy. Right? Sometimes they receive the Spirit because and the Spirit works faith in their lives. Mercy is received, peace is received, purity is received. And so sometimes the good news brings someone into the kingdom. Right? Praise be to God. That is work that God does through you, work that God does through me. But because when he fills us with his Spirit, then his Spirit oozes out. It overflows for the sake of the neighbor. Sometimes God uses ordinary clay pots to bring his salvation to those around us. But sometimes Jesus says that gift will be rejected. And notice, I want you to notice it's the gift that gets rejected. Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he turns directly to his disciples and says, blessed are you. Right, his disciples are sitting around him, and then there's crowds around the disciples. And Jesus wants to make sure that the disciples can't look and think, oh, maybe you're talking to somebody behind me. Right, so Jesus turns to them and says, blessed are you, because he wants them to hear this personally. But that you is not just for the 12 disciples who were sitting around Jesus 2,000 years ago. Right, that you is for you. It's for all of us who've been given the Spirit of Jesus, because you are the poor in spirit. You are the jars that have been filled by that Spirit. You are the ones through whom mercy and purity and peace begin to overflow out of, begin to ooze out of, and you are the ones who might be rejected on account of Jesus. Right? Again, Jesus says, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Now again, to be clear, persecution is not the goal, right? This is not Jesus saying, go be really annoying to people so that they start persecuting you, and then you can say, ha-ha, look, I did it, Jesus. Now it's time for my blessing. Jesus is saying that when the Spirit overflows out of you, there will be some who reject that gift. And when they reject that gift, it may look like they're rejecting you. But really, Jesus says they're rejecting me. They're rejecting him. But he wants to remind you that even in that persecution, even if it feels like they are rejecting you, Jesus tells us that we can rejoice and be glad, not because the jar is impressive, not because our mercy, our purity, our peace is impressive or proves something about us, but we can rejoice and be glad because your reward is great, and your reward is right now. Rejoice because Jesus sends his Spirit to fill empty jars. Rejoice because the treasure is real and right now and for you. Rejoice because there's still more yet to come. The full comfort is coming. The full inheritance is coming. The full righteousness is coming. The day when you will see God face to face is coming. The day when you will be called children of God in a new and perfect creation is coming. And so we can rejoice and be glad because the kingdom is yours and the full kingdom is still coming. But remember that Jesus doesn't give his kingdom as a paycheck to earn or as a possession to hold on to for ourselves. The gift is for you, and the gift is for your neighbor. Right? Blessed are you. The kingdom is yours. Jesus fills you with his spirit to overflow to those around you as he uses ordinary clay pots to grow his kingdom through the work of his spirit. Amen?